Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, and welcome to this week's episode of Radio Established to Address Life. I am your host, Levon. What's buzzing? What's going on with you all this week? I'm really not prepared for the show this week. Don't do that. It's not about not being prepared. It's really about, there's 2 hours is what we have to get you all the information that we have to share with you for the entirety of the week. 2 hours is not enough time. Once you start bantering, that really cuts into it and cuts into it and cuts into it, and you have the exchanges and you get this offshoot, that offshoot, and that really narrows that time in. And then, you know, there's this behind-the-scenes things that I do with the tweeting, the texting where people have questions, and I try to slide them in there and, you know, make myself look good a little bit because I try to make it sound like it's mine. And a lot of that's done to protect the identity of the innocent and or guilty, depending on what the hell the questions are at the time. But it's one of those things where I was just looking at this week, and good morning, Cuzzo. What's happening? I was just looking at this week, and I'm looking at the timeline of the show's Facebook page, and I'm looking at all the information and the shit that happened in this week. Just the not even the wild and crazy shit. The wild and crazy shit to me for this week are the fourth time in a week that the Russians have flown that close to Alaska, and we scrambled jets to escort them over. The wild and crazy shit is the little article that you might not have caught, but it's very important to you how credit is about to change. Vanguard, which is a company not as big as FICO, but it's another company set up by the three credit bureaus, is looking at changing how they score your credit. You know what I'm saying? Now, this is some shit you're like, how did you hear about that? Exactly. The IMF boosted up its projections for world GDP. Global GDP, because it's not like we're trading with another world, right? So global GDP and just how boisterous that is, like how big of a statement that is to how in tune nations are to one another in the exchange of goods, services, raw materials, finished product. But at the same time, the president of the IMF warned against isolationist type policies. That's the wild and crazy shit to me. You know, I'm a political geek. Yeah, I'm not all up in it, can't quote every moment or, you know, every speech by Van Buren or exactly Andrew Jackson's policies. I can't do all that. No. But in this modern time, in these moments, I feed off of that shit. I am plugged in 24/7. I'm speaking to a young lady just the other day, and she was like, yo, I applaud you for being able to do that, because it would blow me. It would blow my mind taking in all of that stuff, keeping it, the good shit, throwing away the bad shit, and, you know, just then turning around and presenting it on a Saturday morning when most people are still in their bed because they're drunk from the night before, or they're just trying to recoup and recover from the entirety of a week. You know what I'm saying? So I'm not prepared for the show today. Again, the research is done, the notes are taken, we have an outline, we know what we kind of, sort of, in a way, want to talk about, but then you throw shit out like The Matrix, okay? So, and the connection between that is what Zuckerberg said on, was it Wednesday? I think, was it Friday? Wednesday. So Zuckerberg says that he wants to, nope, I lied, I'm sorry, it was Tuesday. See, so much shit going on in the week. Zuckerberg says that augmented reality is the holy grail of virtual reality. Now, what is augmented reality? And that's why I said The Matrix, because augmented reality, to me, for me to understand it, because, you know, I'm not the smartest cat in the room, is The Matrix. It is the augmentation of things, but you're seeing it. So think of it as, okay, like 24 Legacy right now. So they have the VR with the glasses, and they say you can log in through Samsung and watch, like, the raid that they were talking about that started off the whole damn show. And that's augmented reality. So you're actually, you will now feel like you're in the sandbox. I'm sorry, the desert. I'm military family, so, you know, we call it the sandbox. Like, you're in the desert. You are tagging along with that team. You're hearing the bullets fly. You're hearing bombs explode. That's augmented reality. Everything around you makes you feel and think you're actually there, but you're not. You're somewhere else. Physically, but through the glasses, your mind has transported yourself to that. Now, this is what's key to all of this, and I'm not going to go into full detail, but this is something that folks have been thinking about for quite some time, because, you know, there's some good to that, right? And there's a whole lot of good to that. So let's say you are disabled for whatever reason. You can't walk or you can't run or whatever. But, again, for whatever reason, you love the idea of hiking, trailing, biking, whatever. So now you can put yourself, augmented reality, in a situation where you're hiking the Himalayas or you're biking the Tour de France or whatever. The other side to that is you can also put yourself in a situation where you could do some bad shit because the information is now there. Google's presented it to you with the cars that drive around and record everything, right? And others have as well. I'm not putting it solely on Google's footstep, but they have. So now, just like you could do some great shit, you could do some really evil shit as well. And I know folks have been looking at that already. So, yeah, that's not a question, Mark. I'm not saying I know, or like maybe sort of. I know that folks have already been looking at that. I actually had a very intense conversation about that once upon a time in life. So, but just think of how fast and how far we've come. Now, cousin, like, you're an 80s baby. You're straight up an 80s baby. You were born in the 80s,
old.
Right? So think about when you were a kid and we transitioned from the cassette Walkman to the CD Walkman to now as an adult, and we've transitioned from all of that to an MP3 player or MP4 player, depending on, you know, what you wanted and whom you got it from. And then add on to that, in all reality, we don't even have that anymore. You have the ability to stream music directly, either through your phone or through a player. You could stream SiriusXM, no plug for them, but just being honest, SiriusXM has a portable Walkman-type device that you... It's like a damn MP3 player. You put it on and you gone. You know, but again, you don't even have to do that anymore. Now your phone now has the capacity to do the shit that you would have needed a typewriter, a telephone, a fax machine, a camera. I mean, all of this shit is now compressed into your phone.
Yeah, everything has become a one-stop shop, and you know, music is one of the things that I definitely, you know, have been able to clearly see the transitions in. I do remember, like you said, remember the freak. I was watching, oh my gosh, man, Do the Right Thing, and I remember the big boom boxes. You know what I'm saying? That took the freaking like 18D batteries. You know what I'm saying? Like. I remember the freaking 6 feet tall stereo system, you know, with the four decks on there and stuff like that, you know, and a record player on the top and an 8-track on there, you know, so that was an all-in-one back then. I remember, like, Casio coming out with the Walkman and stuff like that, you know, and then transitioning to the big old one-disc CD player, portable Walkman, and like you said, then we come up even in the digital era, man. We went from the Zune that came out first, as far as mainstream is concerned, as far as average consumers are concerned, it came out with the Zune first, and the Zune was pretty big and bulky, but it was still digital. And then you know, you come up with you had other little small market MP3 players and stuff like that, but then iPod came out. iPod was pretty big at first, then it slimmed down. So I'm able to actually visualize the transitions in music and where I play a part in that. I remember, like I said, I remember personally having every last one of those devices, you know, up until what I have now, except for the Sirius radio one. But yeah, definitely, like, there's been a clear transition over the last three decades. That I can actually put my finger on.
Sam, I thought you was about to say 30 days. I was like, oh, that's some fast ass shit right there. You know, but
you know, it's still.
So yeah, for real, right? It's way too damn early. So you, one of my friends posted yesterday. She said, "How many dimensions do you believe exist? Do you think we live in a 3-dimension universe, a 4-dimension universe, a 5-dimension universe, so on and so forth?" And I didn't chime in on it, to be honest with you, because my inner nerd just didn't want to take it there. But I'm thinking about my service. I'm thinking about the things that I've heard, and as I'm speaking to a multitude of friends on Tuesday, we're going forward with plans to have a reunion in Vegas. Well, if you know anything about Vegas, then you know that the Air Force is rumored to have an Area 51, a black ops area where things are built that either never see the light of day, or they do see the light of day pretty much 20, 30 years after they've already been in use. So, I'm thinking about technology and just the fact that where did this shit come from? How do you humanly sit back and say, I can make a superconductor that's so small that you can't even see it? Where does that concept even begin to come from? What is the first building block in that? What the fuck is, first off, a superconductor? But y'all motherfuckers think that we the only people in this universe? Yeah, okay. The only beings in this universe? Yeah, okay. Y'all better get it together. I'm telling you. Like,
you know, but that's interesting that you bring that up, man, because I've always felt the same way. You know, people have asked me the same kind of question, like, you know, how, you know, do you think that we're the only species, you know, out there? And I'm like, we'll be fools to think that we are. You know, there's tons of, you know, well, not tons of, but millions of light years.
No, there you go.
You know what I'm saying? So why would we think that we're the only people out there?
And look, these fools keep finding new Earths. Yeah, yes, I say Earths. With an F, not a T-H. Earths. So they found another one. Well, you know they've been found. They just told us about it because somebody was about to snitch. That's how that shit happens, by the way, y'all. let me tell y'all. Most of the shit you know isn't because it was actually intended for you to know. It was one of them situations where, okay, now, one too many people know about this, so somebody about to snitch, so we might as well get in front of it and release the information before somebody snitches, and then everybody's looking at us like we liars, and they, you know, turmoil and civil unrest happens and all that crazy shit. So, nah, most of the shit you know, you weren't supposed to know, but one too many people got the information, and once that happened, then, you know, might as well let the cat out of the bag at this point. That's all. But the new Earths, and this one in particular one, they were saying, actually is the right size, the right distance. It looks to be the right temperature. So now they're going to explore it more and more and more and more. And I keep saying they. I say that for a reason. They really isn't a white or a black thing. They isn't a male or a female thing. Thing isn't a European, African, Asian, Northern American thing. They is a motherfucker with money and those who don't have money thing. Because they know that they have fucked this planet up. And they know that we can only survive here but so much longer. So their asses are planning an escape for either them and or their family members later on down the line. Because remember, they have put in place generational wealth. So there's no one in their family that should be broke if they stick to the script. So if not for them, then it's for their family later on in life. Now, that escape plan will require some of us to go because obviously they have money, so they ain't trying to do the work. So some of us will go as laborers. Some of us will face some hard times there because the laborers will probably turn into some form or fashion of slavery. Let's just be honest. That's just how humans behave. And then it'll start all over again like we are here now. So, they're working real hard. They're working real hard to get the hell away from here before it goes completely to shit. You know, but I caught the article the other day. I think it was in Slate about the polar ice caps are not ice caps anymore. They're more like slushies because it's so damn hot that they're melting like all giddy up. And one of the things I was thinking about with that, in all honesty, was I was looking at going to Virginia Beach, right? Have you ever driven to Virginia Beach?
No. Not even a dog.
It's okay. There's this long-ass bridge that you have to go through, right? And then you go through a tunnel, and when you come out the tunnel, there's another bridge, there's another tunnel, and then you're actually in Virginia Beach, right? But someone
took a...
Huh?
What's that, the Roosevelt Tunnel?
I don't even know the name of it. My point being, the tunnel is in the middle of fucking water. It's in the middle of the Chesapeake. It's in the middle of the bay. With the water levels continuously rising, how much longer is that tunnel going to be effective? I thought about that just the other day. I was like, holy shit. That could literally be another nation in 20, 30 years. In all honesty, because they're going to be cut off. Because the water is getting too fucking high. They're going to be cut off. For real, though. You know, and I'm like, it never dawned on me. Like, one of my beefs with leaving New Orleans whenever I'm in New Orleans and coming back east is driving across the Slidell Bridge. Now, before Katrina, the Slidell Bridge was fairly low. Like, that water used to just look at your ass and be like, yeah, come on. No, motherfucker, come on. No, just a little inch. Just bring your ass right here. Yeah, motherfucker, we waiting for you right there. Now they made it a little bit higher, but still, I swear for the Lord, if you look at that water still says to me every time I cross it, just come on, just come on, please, just a little bit to the left, and your ass is mine. I still hear it every time I cross that damn bridge. But that's a problem, to be real. I mean, we already know New Orleans will flood. We've seen that via Katrina. We've seen that via other things that have gone through. But as this, because New Orleans is below sea level. If the water continues to rise, though, how long can they maintain what is there? That is my question. And the water is going to continue to rise. So the question at this point is, how much longer do they have, to be real? But again, I'm not ready for the day. It's too much shit. Starting on Sunday. Well, let's stop. No, not going to do Sunday. We're going to start on Saturday. So Saturday night live, Spicy came back to the podium as the bunny for Easter. Hilarious. And I'm looking at this, and I'm thinking to self, while I love laughing at Trump, those in his cabinet, those whom are associated with him or chose allegiance to him in any way, shape, or form, fail, falter, flop, whatever, I love seeing it. How sad for those of us who are still serving, and they have to retire with that man's name on their DD Form 214. That makes me shiver. It really does. Makes me shiver.
It puts a level of comedy to those DD214s. You know what I mean? Like, I really think in history, you know, normally people would get a DD214 and man, they amped up. But yeah, when you look down at the bottom of that bad boy, you're looking like, damn. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh my God, like, hit this dude. You know, even when it comes down to his representatives, like you said, Spicy gets freaking, you know, his part, the daggone press conference crashed by Gronkowski. And everything is funny. Everything is laughable. You know, nothing about this presidency is presidential. Everything is a freaking, is a show. But I think that those bad boys are going to be valuable. You know, those DD214s or whatever documents that somebody can manage to salvage or signed by the president, they're going to be valuable in the future because this is going to go down in history, I think, as the worst presidency in our history, man. I think so. but that remains to be seen. But between now and then, we're going to keep laughing.
The young Long, I believe his first name is Jake, son of Howie Long, refused to go to the White House. Now, there was a huge think about that, and that was I think that was Tuesday. No, that was Wednesday. Wednesday. Because there's a photograph of the last time the Patriots won the Super Bowl, which is 2 years ago, with them and Obama. And it's massive. Like, there are members of the organization everywhere. But absent was Tom Brady. Tom Brady is a Republican, and he chose not to go. But other than he, in all honesty, there were not a lot of Pats players that refused to go. This time around, there were over 30 Pat players that refused to go. Over 30 Patriot players refused to go to the White House. The picture this time was very thin, much like his inauguration. Oh, I slid that in. But anyhow, so both he, I'm sorry, not he personally, but both the White House and the Patriots got to clamoring on Twitter and explaining away why the photographs are so different. Well, firstly, they said members of the staff were seated on the lawn this time versus when that other picture was taken. Okay, yeah, but it ain't that damn many of them. So try it again, homie. But we do know that Kraft and he are buddies, so he's always going to come to his defense whenever it's expedient for he as well. I don't think he'll stick his neck out for Don Trump, but he will always come to his defense when and if it seems to be expedient for him. Now, talking about those who stuck their neck out for Donald Trump. So Bill O'Reilly got the boot from Fox News. God dang it, I have a habit of calling that place Fox. This after allegation upon allegation of sexual harassment, just unprofessional conduct, yada, yada, yada. The fact that Fox has paid out millions over the years to women who have filed complaints but have withdrawn them after they got said check from Fox News because O'Reilly did this, O'Reilly said that, blah, 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 blah. He, for the most part, has stayed extremely silent through this entire process. He, for the most part, has really been off the radar. Like, not only has he been relatively quiet, because he has said a couple of words, but he has been out of the public's eye pretty much all the way around, in all honesty. I don't think he's done any book signing. We know he's not on his television show. So he's been pretty much just playing it very, very, very low-key.
But he made more than Isaac. Feel so bad for him.
Yeah. Well, you know he has his golden parachute now. They all have golden parachutes. So he got paid on the way out the door. He got broken off something lovely out the door. But still, it was overdue, man. I mean, the hatred that these dudes are spewing is just it's over the top. It's too much. I mean, to quote my big brother D.L. Hughley, it's just too much. It's too much. You know, down in Florida, State Senator Frank Artiles resigned because he made racist comments at a private club in Tallahassee. Now, let me tell you something. When they said at a private club, I was like, well, you know, hey, but where was he at, though? I thought, oh, shit. Tallahassee, that's Low Alabama. I'm pretty sure he said whatever the hell he wanted to say in Tallahassee. That's Low Alabama, dog. That's on the panhandle. No. That's a different part of Florida over there. That's a different part of Florida over there. That's a different part of Florida over there. But he had his chin checked. People raised up the red flag, you know, sent him calls, sent him emails, Facebook. I mean, they blew his ass up. So the fact of the matter is, family, we all have to learn how to live together. We do. Even in Russia, we have to learn how to live together, even though they kicked out the Jehovah's Witnesses the other day, citing them as a hate group. Now, I've never viewed the Jehovah's Witnesses as a hate group. I have hated when they knocked on my goddamn door, and I had to hide because, you know, they peeped through the window and just were using out. Now, I've hated that, but I've not really thought of them as a hate group. But the Russian Supreme Court upheld the Justice Ministry's request for labeling Jehovah's Witness as an extremist group, and they kicked them out. They kicked them out the country. Told them you no longer have the right to practice here. Now there are 395 local chapters within the USSR, within Russia. The order issued by the court was for property seizure as well. Now that is something that I would like to dig into, to be honest with you, because, you know, Putin is hungry for military space. Now,
his name
35
is funny.
Acres, that could be it, huh?
His name is funny. It's hard to try
Putin?
To take that shit from Putin.
Yeah, don't take that shit from that dude that's Putin. But, yeah, I wonder where some of this land is, though, because this could be a land grab masked as something totally different. We'll see. I'm pretty sure some folks will be on top of that, and we will definitely look and continue to look into that as well. I don't really know the catalyst of this. I mean, to me, it makes no sense. I mean, like, Jehovah's Witness, why the hell are you going after them? You know what I mean? Like, just don't answer the door. You know what I'm saying? Just like everybody else, don't answer the door. Don't breathe and don't answer the door. They'll go. Just give them a couple minutes. Oh, don't act like I'm. Don't act like my ass is the only one. Please don't act like I'm the only one.
No, you're not.
But,
yeah, we were raised. We were trained on how to respond to Jehovah's Witness. You know what I'm saying? It was one of those things where you would get your ass whipped if you answered the door when the Jehovah's Witness came. As soon as you left, Mary Hightower was tearing you up. Did I take another answer that damn door?
People get on my nerves. There was an ISIS attack on Thursday in Paris. At least ISIS claimed that they commissioned and or committed the attack. One police officer was killed. Two others were wounded. Small cell, maybe. Small act of violence, maybe, just to remind the world they're still there. But the question is, how much longer do we want to deal with them? To be honest with you, I mean, dog, this shit has gone on long enough. Or has it? You know, do we always need a bad guy? Can't the world be at peace at some point in time? I mean, just be at peace. What's so wrong with peace? What's so wrong with
peace? Peace isn't lucrative. You know, I was talking about the money factor and stuff. You know, you have to realize that, you know, when you talk about violence in any way, shape, or form, look how much money is produced from violence. You know, you have take Cincinnati, for example. Just the stuff that happened last week with old boy killing the older guy because of his girlfriend. Right? So you have the EMTs who responded to the scene, You had the police who investigated the crime who made money. You have FBI who acted to search for this guy. You have the news who received money because of the ratings covering the story. You know what I'm saying? You have the police officer
who
responded to... Right, you got the hotel that he stayed in. You got the police who responded to the scene when they found him. You know, then you after his demise, you have the coroner's office who responded to it. You have the guy to do the autopsies, the medical examiner who got who made money from it. You got the funeral home who's going to make more money probably than everybody from this man's death. You know, you have so many different entities that's receiving kickback from violence. So no, the world would never be then. You know, and that's just on that level. You know, but you have so many different entities that get kickback from violence that they're not going to promote that violence be stopped. The only people who care about violence being stopped is people who don't receive kickbacks from it and who are hurt by violence. So no, it's not stopped.
Do we always have to take an eye for an eye?
Yeah.
We do?
Yeah, man. I mean, it would sound nice to say we don't, but that's not how we're wired, man. You know, I guess especially when it comes down to violence. The best way to receive vengeance is to enact the eye for an eye. I don't necessarily agree with it, but a lot of people agree with it. A lot of people want you to feel the same pain that I felt. So therefore, you need to feel the same thing I felt. I need to take somebody from you, or I need to take your life. You need to feel the same pain that I felt.
I guess. I just, the more and more that plays in my mind, I keep, the more and more it says to me, somebody's going to wind up blind. You know, if we keep taking this person's eye and that person's eye and that person's eye and that person's eye, shit. Not that there's anything wrong with being blind. It's just, I don't want to be blind.
I mean, that's just like this situation that happened with Aaron Hernandez. You know, a lot of people really don't give a damn. I mean, this is the first person that I've seen really. Nobody's. I'm watching ESPN, and I was shocked when I was watching Outside the Lines yesterday, and to hear the comments that were harsh towards Aaron Hernandez. Now, normally people try to be political, you know, they try to politic it, you know what I'm saying, and be like, oh, well, you know, this is a troubled guy, poor him, you know, he has so much promise. No, these jokers are on there like, yo, I don't care, why are we talking about him? He deserved everything he got. It's a shame that, you know, he wastes all his talent, but sucks to be him. Like, they had a totally different tone when it came down to Aaron Hernandez. They was like, I almost felt like they were like, you know, why didn't he do it soon enough? Or like, you know, they talked about a conspiracy theory part of it. Like, you know, maybe somebody else did it. And nobody gave a damn about proving or disproving or arguing the case that if somebody did it or not. They were almost like, hoping that somebody, to me, they were always hoping that somebody else killed him because of what he did, Lloyd, and how it impacted his family and stuff like that. And they really seemed like they really did not give a damn. But they were straddling the fence on celebrating him dying. It was almost like there's one less Negro out there, even though, you know, he's not a fully Negro, but. You know what I'm saying? It was almost like it was one less Negro out there in the streets because they didn't bat an eye. They didn't freaking, you know, have one sad remark. Everything was like, yo, why are we talking about him? Why is he making news? And why are we still, you know, addressing this? Why are we giving this so much airplay? Let's move on. Let's talk about his mother. Let's talk about, you know, the family that he destroyed. But this is the first time I've ever seen somebody who died in the midst of, you know, a trial or who was accused of murder, that people actually, especially especially somebody like CNN or ESPN or Fox News. I've never heard them be so crass about it before.
Right.
But they enjoyed it. Like, I actually agree with them. So what?
Hmm.
You're a coward, dude. But just like the guy at Cincinnati. You killed a 75-year-old man because some woman hurt your feelings. And you go out and kill an old man.
Steven
Okay, I don't care to remember his name because he's irrelevant to me. You know what I mean? But you deserve to die. That's your business. You deal with that later on.
That is the easy way out, though, in my opinion.
Yeah, it is.
Because, you know, you don't have to struggle, at least in this form, with walking around and people knowing who you are and them behaving toward you in accordance with whom they believe that you are because of what you've done and shown them. You know? So, I don't know, man. I mean, we're all going to die. I think that the death penalty is appropriate in some cases, not all. I would not have. I'm thinking about that one. I don't know, man. I don't know. I don't know what I would have done or said had the mic been thrown in my face and asked about Aaron Hernandez. To be honest with you, I really don't know. That's from a personal aspect more than the journalistic aspect. The journalistic aspect dictates that there's no connection there. There's no connection to anything. You know, you're there for the story. The story is as close to the truth or the truth, period. And that's it. So on a personal level, I don't know how I would have behaved to that dude coming in with a broken one or whatever. We talked about this last week, the ferociousness that some people put behind wanting to see someone die, though, amazes me. It's a contrast to their other stance, which is usually, you know, let's save them. But when you grow up, Let's kill him. Like that will always get me. But that's just how it is. You know, people are fickle.
When you're a kid, you're innocent. You know what I mean? Children still have some kind of innocence on them, you know? But
mm-hmm.
adults are threats.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not people are threatened by a child, except for that 10-year-old boy in Florida who has autism, who was arrested for threatening his teacher, you know, outside of him, people like him, which was interesting within itself, or we'll talk about that later, maybe. But, yeah, I mean, not too many kids are threats to adults. But when you become an adult, people remember what kind of kid you were, and when you become a violent adult, yeah, they want to off you. They don't want to save you anymore because you had your time to be saved. And in my opinion, you shouldn't put it into their hands. You shouldn't put it in their hands to determine your fate. Everybody has choices. I say it all the time. And if you have
mm-hmm.
choices, you have to deal with the consequences from their choices. You have an opportunity to think about everything that's going to happen before you make this decision. When I pull this
mm-hmm.
trigger, how is it going to change my life? It happens in real time. It's lightning speed. At lightning speed, but we all have that option. And when we choose to not pay attention to those consequences, then I don't feel bad for anybody who has to suffer those consequences. Period.
But that's saying that we take the time to actually think. And something else I caught, and I don't want to go too deep into this today, because I don't have the mental capacity to be honest with you. This is something I'm really going to have to sit back and study and get some other folks involved whom I've already reached out to. But we've lost patience. See, thoughts like that or solutions like that come about when you have patience. You have to actually sit back and think about some shit. What we have, what we've come so too accustomed to, is instant gratification. Instant gratification, you know, and that's just what our society has come to. In the vein of the IMF upping their global projections for GDP, another warning came out about. I'm sorry, there was another article that was printed that was how laziness is killing the American economy. And I'm like, yo, I've been saying this shit for years. But the truth is, we don't do shit anymore. We don't make shit anymore. We want somebody else to make it because we don't want to get dirty. Or those jobs are beneath us, or whatever. You know what I'm saying? So we don't make shit anymore. We just do it. I'm sorry, we want it. We want it now. We don't care how it's made. We don't care who made it. But we want it cheap, fast, now. That's it, cheap, fast, now. CFN, cheap, fast, and now. That's what we want.
You mean
that? Yeah, for real, right? And if it, because, you know, everything's happening now. And if it breaks, guess what? We ain't trying to fix it. We just go and buy another one. You know what I'm saying? I'm in Walmart the other day. The 4G screen, the price of that thing was relatively so cheap as compared to when it just came out 4 to 6 months ago.
Yeah, they like $3.99 now. You get a good one.
Yeah, I mean, I'm like, damn. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's all it is right now. You know, but. That's the world that we live in, man. It's ever changing. It's more stuff. Less sustenance. More stuff. Less sustenance. I'm having a conversation toward the end of last week. I said, women have said for years how men don't communicate, and then y'all asses gave us texting. And then y'all want to text all the time. And you wonder why we don't communicate or why we can't communicate. Shit, we don't understand. We were just getting to a point where we could start to verbalize shit. Now you want to text us, so now we're texting you back. Now we getting cussed off of shit that we never even said nor meant. But you felt that that's what the hell we were saying. Like, oh, shit, I'm done. I quit. I can't do it. I can't handle it. It's too much.
Hey, I kind of like the text messaging because I ain't got to hear your damn voice nagging and, you know, you complain about something. You know what I mean? So I like the text message sometimes.
I don't. Maybe that's a generational thing, but I can't stand it. I am one. I need conversation. I need to hear you so that I can at least get some sense as to what you're saying and how it's being said. The quickest way to misunderstanding is me typing you something, you being in a fucked up place, me not knowing you're in a fucked up place because you ain't telling me, and then you blasting me about, you know, me just saying okay. Why you have to say okay? I'm looking at the phone like, only thing I said was, oh. Okay, like, what the fuck is wrong with okay? Like, you know, that's not supposed to be neutral. That's not supposed to cause World War III. Like, it's okay.
That is a downside.
I hate when you do that. You hate when I say okay?
Yeah.
What's wrong with okay?
Because you don't give a damn when you say okay.
And you got all that from 2 to 4 letters. Works for the kids.
We might throw it out of the way.
What were you saying?
I said, yeah, because we might be too lazy to spell it all the way out, so you might get two. You know?
All right, so we got all that. We got the That's a funny
beast
story.
Mode, yeah.
To that. All right. Well, okay. We'll get there. 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 Hold on. Give me a second. It was so much shit going on. Okay. So, back to Sunday. So, our defender in chief, our protector, the man in the highest office in the land, is on the balcony overlooking the White House lawn. The national anthem is playing. His wife is there, hand over heart. His child is there, hand over heart. And his ass is standing there smirking. Notice I did not say hand over heart. And so his wife tapped him, and he's like, huh? Oh. And then he puts his hand over his heart while the national anthem is being played. This dude is such a piece of shit. I don't understand why y'all motherfuckers voted for him. Then, a couple of days later, they're deplaning from Air Force One. He absolutely leaves her. He absolutely leaves her. She's on the ramp. She's on the staircase walking down gingerly because, you know, her ass had on some stripper heels. She's walking down gingerly, and he's already on the tarmac shaking hands and saluting motherfuckers. Like, dude, are you serious? This is your wife. Make sure she's straight before the rest of them motherfuckers see anything. This is what you're supposed to do.
Bro,
but it's okay.
She's not his equal. She's not his
No,
equal.
Not
you know,
at all.
They are not President Obama and, you know, Michelle Obama. They're not a power couple. He is the powerful man. She is his wife. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's the difference. You know, President Obama and Michelle Obama, they were a couple. They were a team. He empowered her just as much as she empowered him. That's the difference.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Then he's going to leave her ass in the dust on the freaking rant on the stairwell.
Man, look.
It's about him. It's his show. I'm him here. I made it, homie.
Yeah, she's straight up on them stairs, man. Them jet stairs. She's just walking down like, oh, please don't let me bust my ass. Everybody gonna laugh at me. And blah, blah, blah. She finally gets to the bottom, and bam. You
and
know,
he's already
there like, hey. Man, I don't whatever. All right. So Thursday, Ted Cummings. 50 years old, Tennessee teacher, arrested in California with his 15-year-old female student, Elizabeth Thomas.
Freak boy.
This was the end of a 39-day hunt for the teenager. The teacher is under suspicion for having a relationship beyond just student-teacher of a physical nature and a sexual nature with the young lady. They actually made it to a commune. In California, where Mr. Cummings told the proprietor that they were from Colorado. He was 40. She was 22, according to the proprietor. This is what Mr. Cummings said. They had a house fire. They lost everything. So he offered up the rent for the night, and he paid the young man. He goes inside. He goes to sleep, wakes up, runs across Mr. Cummings again the next day. Yada, yada, yada. And lo and behold, the police spring up and lock him up. So right now he's in custody. And he's going to trial. He decided not to fight it that hard. So that's where
the cool thing about this whole is his old boy who ran the facility where he was staying at. They actually made him like an agent for the day. You know, they hooked him up. Like, hey, look, bro, we need to catch him. So I need you to come up with a plan. Help us come up with a plan to go ahead and get him out. So this is what I want you to do. So his ass is like, you can do that. Come on. So they set him up. So it ended up. I'm sure, you know, he's happy and proud of his agent for a day thing. But he's another idiot, you know. Steve Cummings is another freaking idiot. You run around country with this freaking girl. Hey, yo, did you see the fact that he refilled his Cialis prescription and had hotel reservation?
No.
Yo, it was about to go down. My man.
Again.
My man.
I mean, they were on the land for 39 days. It had gone down before then. Trust and believe. You know what I mean? But look, I'm torn with this one, right? Because I'm saying to myself, From all the accounts that I saw, she wasn't bound and gagged. So this is a young lady who was led astray by an older man. Yes, I understand that. She still is a young lady. Yes, I understand that as well. But she had an ass. This little half of hot ass. You know what I'm saying? Because you out there, and the students in the school caught you in the classroom kissing this dude. You know what I'm saying? Like, you 15 years old. What you doing even near a man? Well, I won't call him a man. He's a male. An adult male. An aged adult male. Like I said, he's 50-something years old, man. You know, you 15. What the hell? But I know a lot of people from down south that grew up in homes like that. A lot of people did. And that is their point of reference for relationships. But
I mean, I know people in Baltimore who's 50-something years old and date 20-year-old people. I'm just saying.
No. Nah. I can believe it, but that won't be the kid.
No.
You know
I
that
know a person. You know.
Hold on. Say that one more time. You know a person that does what?
It's a 50-year-old person who dated somebody who was in their 20s.
Oh, Lord have mercy. I already know what you
mean. And had a baby with.
Okay. All right, we'll talk
nice,
about that
yeah.
offline. Yeah, we'll talk about that offline.
Thank you.
Yeah, I know you're talking about. That's what I said. I know exactly what you're talking about.
I'm sorry, y'all.
Look, ladies and gentlemen, that was strictly a family business item. Don't even just let that one go. All right, so speaking of sex, Sarasota Open down in Sarasota, Florida. We're going back to Florida again. A couple was having sex so loud that it took over the sounds of a live, actual, professional tennis match between Francis Tiafoe and Mitchell Krueger. So much so that Tiafoe says, "It cannot be that good," quote, unquote. And,
it was...
The moans, the groans, the grunts, the screams got a little loud. Let's say it that way. It's got a little loud and unruly. Yesterday marked the day plus one anniversary because, you know, it's never the same day, right? The day plus one anniversary for, today was the day plus one. Yesterday was, no, well, whatever. Of the purple one, it's passed away last year on the 21st of April. He was born the 7th of June, 1958, and passed away on the 21st of April, about a month and a half short of his birthday. His ex-wife is writing a tell-all about them and their relationship. And that's actually a little unfair. It's not really a 100% tell-all, but she said that she wanted to share the story with the world. And she's going to release as much information as she deems necessary about this private person, which is, you know, stand up some people's feelings because Prince. Everyone that knew Prince says that he's a cool dude. I had the pleasure of meeting him in person, and he is a cool dude. He's really a cool – well, he was. I mean, obviously, he passed on. He really was a cool dude. I mean, really, 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 really cool dude. Like, with someone as beautiful – as that, I'm talking about personality wise, spirit wise.
What?
You know, that's
right.
Yeah. What?
No, yeah. A lot of people call beautiful for different reasons, but I got you. I'm trying.
That's what I said. That's what I said. Personality, spirit-wise.
Yeah, I got
you. Yeah, there's nothing wrong with being homosexual, but that's just not what I do.
Right.
But yeah, so it's one of them things. It's rattling to people's feathers because, you know, you're like, oh, that's good. Let my man live. You know what I mean? Well, let him rest easy, I'm saying. Let him rest easy. You know, this is a really good dude. Like, don't be putting all his business out there in the street. So we'll see. You know, this quote-unquote reality world that we live in with all this reality television and reality this and reality that. The sharks are always in the water hunting for something fresh and new. So you never know what is going to come out of folks' mouths in order to make a buck or to prove a point even. You know, as we say goodbye to Charlie Murphy, the fact that so many people have been so outpouring with love for him and just like, yo, this was a great dude. Never met him. I don't know. He seemed to be cool, really down to earth. Earth with a T-H, not an F that time. Really down to earth. So we'll see, you know, because somewhere along the line, somebody writing something. They always are. You know, she was about to drop somewhere. And we'll see what that all comes out to be. But I'm thinking about love and how it isn't so much on the minds as I think a lot of young people are, and I say that because there's not a lot of love songs out here anymore. You know, shit is about bumping and grinding. It's not about respect, it's not about love, it's not about appreciation, it's not about growing old together, it's just, you know, can we fuck?
It's not even bumping and grinding no more, man. Bumping and grinding was, right. You know, was still a little way back in the day. Now it's about straight fucking. You know what I'm saying? Now it's no guessing around it. You know, bumping and grinding could be a little foreplay mixed in a little bit and all that. That was like, fuck.
I mean, can we fuck? I mean, can you strip for me, shake your ass for me, drop this like that, or, you know, I don't. Woo, I had to woo-sah because I was about to get a damn headache. Just trying to wrap my mind around this.
You're getting old, man.
Yeah, man, thank you. So I'm crying more often.
What?
And I'm thinking it's me, right? Until again, Lakia Nicole, blaster out. She posted up the other day. She said, "Man, when was the last time you cried?" And I was like, "Well, shit, I cry all the time now. Like, you know, if something is just huh?"
He like, "I cried yesterday 3 times."
Oh man, look. If something is remotely emotional, my ass is just bursting out. I'm like, I can't believe like, dude, what the hell? I done got super soft around this piece, man. I crossed 40, and it just, I'm like, what the hell is going on? I cry the drop of a dime nowadays, dude. And, man, some of them damn cat commercials or videos, dude, the husky that didn't want to take the bath. Did you see that one on Facebook?
Yeah, I saw that.
Did you see the husky that didn't want to go home? The owner was trying to take it home, and that mug straight up laid out on the ground and made the owner drag it home. And the owner said, okay. Try to get in the house. That motherfucker wouldn't move. So then he turned around and started walking back like he was going to take it for a walk. That joke sprung up and was ready to go, dude. I'm like, yo, are you serious? Man, these huskies dogs are hilarious to me. Another one was, again, the owner was taking him home, and they left the dog park. And that mug was like, man, fuck that. I ain't going home. I want to play my boy. So that joker laid down again. Wouldn't move. The owner had to drag him. And he's like, okay. So he took him and turned around and was headed back toward the dog park. That joker popped up, was ready to go. As soon as he turned around, started running back home, that mug fell right back out again. in all honesty, I'm not big on animals, but that makes me want a damn dog. Specifically a husky, because they are hilarious. The crying, the talking back, the arguing with these damn dogs is just hilarious to me, man. It's hilarious. That one that didn't want to take the bath, that mother was like, man, I ain't getting in that water. I don't care what you say. I am not getting in that water. Had all kinds of mouth to go at it. Yeah, man. Funny. But you were saying beast mode. All right, so beast mode signed with the Raiders. He's back. So what do you think? You think he has – yeah, he signed. You think another 2 years, another year, you think he's going to be a effective player this year, or you think he's going to need a year to get all the rust off before he has the quote-unquote breakout or effective season?
No, I mean, compared to the other running backs, I think he's going to be effective now. I don't think it's going to take long. Yeah, I think it's going to be something he comes right at the gate, and he's going to be good.
Mm-hmm.
It's not many running backs out here that's killed the game. You know, Adrian Peterson is on decline. You know, other than Ezekiel Elliott and what's the boy's name up in Buffalo, Sean McCoy. It's not too many running backs that's tearing it down. So he can come right in and be an effective running back and put up some good stats, especially with the Oakland Raider offense.
What do you think about the Ravens versus the Steelers in Week 10 this year versus a Week 12 or 14 game?
It helps us. You know, I think that we've been getting, you know, a tough schedule the last four games of the season, man. And that's been tearing us up as far as making the playoffs. You know, we got four rivalry games at the end of the season. You know, what team is facing that? Granted, they're professionals, so they should be able to, you know, push through it. But in fairness of you know, as far as equality in regards to all the teams, come on, man. Four of the last six games of the season, we're playing some division rivals and crap like that, or conference rivals for that matter. And it's affected our seeding and our playoff hopes. So I think this year, getting it out the way early as far as that daggone Pittsburgh game, which, you know, is always physical, breaking people off, I think that's something that we definitely will benefit from by seeing them earlier, sooner than later.
My concern, though, is with the trip to London, we lost a home game. And one of my biggest knocks on Flacco is he's not good on the road. And we have a good number of road games this year. So I don't know what, if anything, will change. But I feel like at the end of the season, either way, there will be a change. Because, you know, this is the joint. I don't know yet. You know, that I don't know until we really start to play and I get a better feel for it. But if we don't win on the road this year, I think Harbaugh and Flacco will go. I really do. I really do, because they've not done it. And you're talking about 11 years of, or 10 years, would it be 10 years? 10 years of a lack of success on the road. You can't hold on forever. And I've said this a million and one times, you know, I'm a Flacco hater, and I am. I'm not a hater of Flacco. I just don't. So let me take that back. I'm not a hater of Flacco. I'm just not an admirer of him at all. And I'm saying to anyone that wants to listen, this dude should have been traded after the Super Bowl, and we would have gotten much more than what we expected and or have right now had we made that move. Now You can't get rid of him. You can't give this dude away. Who wants him? Who wants him? There's nobody clamoring to take him. And it's not just because of the price tag, because let's be honest, there's a lot of ways that deal can be structured where the Ravens are stuck paying that price tag. Just like Houston is stuck. Well, no, Houston actually got out of that. They stuck Cleveland with the price tag for Osweiler. But there are a lot of ways that can be structured where the Ravens are still have to pay that money, you know, without it hitting whatever organization that heavy at all, if at all. But don't nobody want that kid, man. He doesn't have it. He doesn't have
it. I disagree. I disagree, man.
Okay.
Just like with Tony. No, check this out. Just like with Tony Romo. And I have had this kind of debate or argument, whatever you want to call it, at work before, because I can't stand Tony Romo. But the point that's always made, and the point I understand, is that when you look at the options for quarterback, who is out there? Would you rather have an inexperienced or an experienced, completely unsuccessful quarterback? Or would you rather have a quarterback who's had some success, but maybe not have, you know, met the expectations that were set for them? They've had some success. They didn't get quite over the hump, but they've shown flashes. They've shown capabilities. Would you rather have that person, or a person who's completely been a dud, or a person who has no experience at all? If Joe Flacco left the Ravens, he would land somewhere that they feel they could change him or rejuvenate him.
Who do you see to take him? Who do you think would take him as their starting quarterback?
First of all, Cleveland.
I'm real talk.
First of all, Cleveland would take him. Houston would take him.
Detroit. Nope,
would take
him. Cleveland ain't going to take him. Not with Hugh Jackson at the helm. He ain't going to take him. Mm-mm.
Hugh Jackson has the boss, bro.
I agree with that, but I'm pretty sure Hugh has a lot of sway in that organization as well. He ain't taking him. Here's my thing. When you see dudes come in and play whom have been in the league less time than he and light it up, not just with their arm, but with their management of the game. Come on, dude. I mean, he's not a leader. And you don't always have to be a leader at the quarterback position. It's nice that you are, but you don't always have to be. That's just not him. Okay, I got that point. But when you go to the sidelines and you have the camera on Brady, 9 times out of 10, Brady, Manning, the great ones, they're reviewing the flips, the still shots, going over what defense and schemes look like, da-da-da-da-da-da. When you see Joe Flacco, you don't see that a lot. You don't see that a lot. He plays like his heart isn't in it. In all honesty, that's how he plays, and he's been playing like that for the last couple of seasons. Like, his heart isn't in it. And it may have changed. He may have come out of college like, yo, this is it. And then when he got into it, he's like, man, fuck this shit. I'm going to ride this as long as I can ride it. And whenever they done with me, I'm good. Granted, he's had a pretty decent run. A decent run. Hasn't been a great run. He's had a decent run. You know, will he be a first ballot Hall of Famer? He shouldn't be. He ain't done nothing. You know, you want to talk about the Super Bowl, I still contend that was the defense. That wasn't the offense. You know, but because the defense limited San Francisco so much in that first half that they kept the offense in great scoring position. So you didn't have to do a lot in order to score. Now, it was the second half. When San Francisco started lighting it up, defense was tired. But they weren't tired. They were out of sync because of the whole light situation. They were just out of sync. You know what I'm saying? And the offense did not keep up. They did not keep up at all. However, they had built so large of a lead in the beginning They didn't have to. But that was due to the defense pounding the hell out of San Francisco. That wasn't even pretty. You know, but to each their own. We're all entitled to our own opinion. I truly believe that we would have been better served with Tyrod. I think we would have been better served. Hell, and I've said this. I was like, yo, even when we had done that, even if we got a warm body for a couple of years, it would have gave us an opportunity to get a good kid out of college. The young kid that plays for New England, the third string dude that came in and lit it up for them when he had an opportunity to play before, because he got hurt, and then Brady came back. Dude, that's a win. That's a freaking win. That dude could start right now for the Ravens, and I'll say it. We probably have a better damn opportunity to win with him than with Dan Flacco. That's it. I said it. Keeping it real, son. I'm keeping it real.
I think that you just hate Joe Flacco so damn much that it doesn't matter. So I'm not even going to argue with you.
Okay. And I appreciate that. But, again, it's not a hate for Flacco. It's his performance that I disagree with, not the individual. I've seen too many underthrown balls, overthrown balls in situations that were critical, and it's like, dude, what the hell are you thinking? And to throw up constantly, well, he's had seven offensive coordinators. Okay, but he's been in the league for 10 years. How long do you need a bottle before your ass understand what's necessary by picking up the fork? Like, come on, dog. You've been in the league fucking 10 years. Grow up.
I don't know what the hell you're talking about with the damn bottle and fork analogy. I'm just saying that, you know, when it comes down to it, Joe Flacco, you know, is better than a lot of quarterbacks in the league. And it's easy to say get rid of him, but where do you go after that?
Again, you go to the damn draft. You go to the draft. Just imagine if we were in place to get a Garoppolo or even the kid behind him. That is a step up. That's a step up.
No, that's a step forward. That's a step forward, but it's not a step up.
Okay, step forward.
You take somebody in the draft, and you have them under Joe Flacco as his, you know, successor, but you don't just get rid of Joe Flacco and then go straight to a rookie quarterback, man. That's crazy. Joe Flacco still can put up wins. We did it before, but look how long it took.
Denver did it.
With who?
The kid they got now. I don't remember his fucking name, but the kid they got now. Denver did it.
And what did they do last year? Did they win a Super Bowl?
They stopped. No.
All right.
But this goes back to the conversation that we had before. Instant gratification. Do you want long-term success, which you may have to sacrifice a year or two to get, or do you want to win now for the now?
Owners want to win now. Fans want to win forever. And that's the thing about it. So fans tend to be patient when it comes down to teams, you know, and okay, well, if we haven't won in a few years, but we got some promising, because we analyze everything. Owners care about the bottom line. Owners care about the rings. Owners care about winning now.
So okay, are we winning now?
No, we haven't won.
So what's the difference? That's my point. What's the difference?
The difference is when training camp starts, you feel like you have a better chance to win with Joe Flacco than you do with a rookie quarterback.
Okay.
Joe Flacco has bought you success. So it's not like ever since Joe, it's not like freaking the quarterback for Cincinnati.
Oh shit, I know him too because I use him a lot. Green, no, that's a wide receiver. It'll come to
we
me.
You know what I'm talking about, Joe.
Andy Dalton.
Right. It's not like you've been Andy Dalton and been with the team for 12 years, 13 years, and shit like that, and you haven't done anything outside of make it to the playoffs and get bumped the first round. And they sticking with him.
Mm-hmm.
That's a dude you want to get rid of. But even outside of that, they putting up 10-win seasons, 11-win seasons. So is it that easy to get rid of? It's not that easy to get rid of. I didn't understand it up until recently, man. When you look at the quarterback pool, it's nothing out there. So it's easy as a fan to say, get rid of him. But where do you go from there? Then you get this rookie quarterback, you throw him out there, then he get beat up and he get hurt because, again, it's a difference between a good college quarterback, D1 playing for, you know, one of the power schools or something like that, you know, and they lighten up in college. And then it's the difference between them coming to the pros and being able to perform. We've seen it so many times where these players have so many expectations, and they come to the NFL and they suck. Why do they suck? Because they get thrown in these sorry-ass teams, and they're expected to perform. Marcus Mariota, he was killing in Oregon. And he's doing okay now, but the expectations were that he was coming in and he going to save the Titans as far as the outside looking in. But the organization is allowing the team to grow around him. But they've been losing for 20 years now, right? They've been losing for 20 years now. The Ravens in their 20-plus year existence, they have a winning history. We have two Super Bowls, right? Not a lot of teams can say they have that in their first 20 years of existence. We have multiple playoff appearances. Not many teams can say they have that in 20 years. So when you look at the scale of comparison, the Ravens are doing fairly well for a franchise in their first 20 years of existence. And again, when you look at your chances to win right now, with Joe Flacco at the helm, we have a better chance at winning than we do going into the draft. And when you're looking at trading, there's no quarterbacks out there that we can trade for or get a free agency that's going to be good.
Mm-hmm.
Teams are putting everything in their quarterback. So you're not gonna get. They're not gonna get rid of a good quarterback in free agency. You don't see quarterbacks hit free agency like that if they're good. Now the smart thing would have been to keep freaking Tyrod Taylor, pay him the money that he deserves as a backup quarterback, and then let him eventually transition into being a starting quarterback or compete for the starting quarterback role. That would have been the smarter decision, but we didn't do that. Now we have Ryan Mallett, who is a mediocre at best backup quarterback. And we got to do what we got to
do. Okay. I still say traded his ass, got the picks, got the cash, kept the cash, kept the offense together, kept the defense together, got us a good manager of the game. Don't have to light up the scoreboard, but a good manager of the game. Win like we've been winning. On defense, move the chains, keep the other team off the field, pound it, field goal, victory. Boom. It's my opinion. And I agree with you. The pool isn't wide, the pool isn't deep, but, you know, just because things don't look the way you want to look right now, that doesn't mean that you fear a change in life or in sports. Life, love, or in sports. You know, sometimes.
I agree that we should go into the draft and find a quarterback, but I don't believe in starting that quarterback right now. I don't believe you just let go of Joe Flacco and just start with a rookie quarterback.
Okay, but that's why I said after the Super Bowl, we should have traded him traded him. We should have traded him for cash and picks. And I think that would have set us up for a better path a quicker path to return to the Super Bowl than we're traveling right now, to be honest with you. But the year hasn't started yet. We'll see what comes about this year. If the maturation of Flacco matches the hype of Flacco, then I will humbly say I was wrong. You know what I'm saying? But he hasn't proved it to me, dude. He's not stepped up when we needed him to step up, and we're past the point of needing him to step up. And he has to understand that. It's like, dude, I have to step outside myself and do what I need to do in order to carry this team to the next level. Because it is on me. I'm the one that makes more money than anybody else sitting around that piece. It's my responsibility. When I signed that piece of paper, it was put on my shoulders. You know? Be it, you know, that's a part of the package. May not be in your personality, but you need to learn how to pick it up, because that's what it is. That's what it is. And that is it for us for this week. Family, I need to go. Got some things to do. Going to a play later on tonight. My brother and my sister-in-law are coming down from PA, so we're going to do some family time, hang out, do some shenanigans. It's a lovely thing to be able to spend time with family, and I try to do it as often as I can. But I encourage you all to take full advantage of your time together. The summer's coming. Take a vacation. Just a little weekend getaway if that's all you can do or all you can afford or whatever. You know, just do something, man, to spend some damn time together. And if you don't want to spend time with that person, then, you know, find somebody else to spend time with. I'm just saying. Sometimes you got to make a damn change. Janet Jackson did it. She left her husband. You hear that shit like that? Janet left the husband after having the baby. And then Serena pregnant. That's bullshit. Anyhow, until next week, you all be good. You all be safe. And we will see you on the radio. Peace.
Holla.